Good afternoon. Jesus loves Wednesdays. So I didn't bring my reading glasses, so we'll see what we can do here. Well, Father, I pray that you'd open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Amen. This little section of scripture is really interesting to me because it reminds me in some ways of the story in chapter 4 of the woman at the well. When Jesus first encountered her, when he was sitting at the well and she approached him to drink, get water from the well, then Jesus began to speak to her. He talked to her about this gift that he wanted to offer, and then he mentioned to her that the water that she's drinking from, that she'll be thirsty again. But he had water, and that water was eternal life. And he said, I have water, and if you drink that water, you'll never thirst again. So she said, tell me, sir, how do I get that water so I won't have to come back here every day? And in this story, there's similar conversations with these people. Jesus says in verse 33, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall not hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst again. Jesus told the woman at the well that you'll never thirst again. And so think about what he was saying to her. And again, think in terms of what eternal life is. Eternal life, again, is not something that lasts forever, though it does last forever. But eternal life is our communion with, our union with the very life of Christ, our participation in his very life, in his eternal life, and therefore this supernatural life that is the life of Jesus. We've been grafted into that, and our experience of that is what eternal life is all about. In John 17, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you would experience me and experience the Father who sent me. Now, the context here is that Jesus has just fed about, counting the 5,000 men plus their families, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 20,000 people. And it was with 5 crackers and 2 little sardines. And as he gave thanks for that, for God's provision, there was just this multiplication supernaturally. That every time they'd pass the food on, the basket kept being full of food. To when it was over with, all the fish was gone, but there was 12 fragments of bread still left over. So it wasn't just enough. It says it was enough to fill them, not just barely get by, but to fill them, and there were 12 baskets full left over. I mean, that's what life in Christ is like. It's not just that there's enough grace to do life and sort of squeak by every day while we fall into bed exhausted having made it through another day. It's more than enough. It's life and life more abundant. And this is a pretty amazing miracle. So what's interesting is when they come to Christ, this is why Bracken read all those verses. Plus, I like to hear Bracken read because he's like the best reader in the history of the world. Makes you want to like sit down with your teddy bear and listen to the story, like bedside. I'm just going to read these verses from verse 22. This is the day after the feeding of those thousands of people. The next day, the multitude stood on the other side of the sea and saw there was no other boat, small boat there, except the one. And Jesus had not entered into that boat with his disciples. So the point being is there's these people who came down, they wanted to be with Jesus again, where they had the feeding of the 5,000 happen, and Jesus wasn't there. And they remembered the day before that there was only one boat and that boat wasn't there, but Jesus didn't get in that boat. They knew that. The reason they came is because they knew Jesus had gone to sit on the side of the mountain to pray. But that one boat's gone, which the disciples left in, they saw that. Jesus wasn't with them. And then they come to meet Jesus and he's not there either. So how in the world did he get over? Where did he go? What boat did he get into? Of course, Jesus walked on the water. And so when they come to him, they ask a very simple question. They said in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, when they finally went to where the disciples and Jesus had gone, they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? because they're like inquisitive, asking this as a question, right? It's a mystery. And then Jesus says this to them. He says, truly, truly. So if we pay attention, right? Truly, truly, like McFly, McFly, you know, listen. Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs. Now, they just had a pretty big sign just happen, right? Pretty big miracle. But because you ate of the loaves and were filled. I mean, they had been really hungry the day before. They were out in the middle of nowhere, and they got filled up. Jesus provided for them food. Now, I don't know if, I don't know how many of them could just missed it that bad. Like, they didn't get it. Did they not realize the miracles happening? They were not paying attention when they'd soak and into just eating what they were eating. They weren't paying attention that there was just one basket and it kept getting passed and there was never ran out. I don't know. But Jesus said, do not work for the food which perishes, like normal food, but for the food which endures or remains into eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father God has set a seal. And therefore they said to him, well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? So again, they're asking, kind of like the woman at the well, so what do I do to get this water that I'll never thirst again? So Jesus said, look, don't work for food that perishes, but work for food that endures into eternal life. And so they said, well, okay, then what work is that? Like, if we did the work, normal work, would be to earn bread, but you said that bread perishes, so we want that bread or that food that lasts forever. So what do we do? To do the works of God. Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. So you see the conversation here? Jesus said, you didn't come here because you saw a sign. You came here because you got food. And he said, but all you're concerned about is food that perishes, but there's a food that's even better, that endures, that remains in this life and life more abundant that lasts forever. And they said, well, then tell us what work we have to do to get that kind of food, earn that kind of food. Well, you can't earn it. Jesus said, well, you just have to believe in him whom the Father sent. That's the work of God. And then they said to him, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe? What work do you do to perform? I'm thinking, huh? They really didn't get it? Like, they're asking Jesus for a sign so they can believe, and he just fed 15 and 20,000 people with 5 sardines and 2 crackers. And then they give this story. Well, you know, Moses, when he was in the wilderness, God used him to feed from bread from heaven. Then Jesus begins to say, look, that wasn't Moses, that was the Father. But the Father has sent to you the bread of heaven, and the bread of heaven is me. And then the whole conversation like, and if you eat from the bread of heaven, you'll never be hungry. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not be hungry. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. So that was one of the fascinating parts of the story of the woman at the well. She had been married 5 times, was now living with a guy. So her thirst to try to get her needs met, to try to have her self-worth met, her value met, her needs for affection and affirmation met. Jesus is saying, you keep trying and you could end up with 100 husbands, but it's never going to be enough because no human being can meet all your needs. You were created so that only he alone can meet your need. Why do cars need gas to run? It's real complicated because they were made that way. Why do oil lamps need oil to burn? Because they were made that way. Why do human beings need God in their life to be human beings, to function as normal, whole human beings? Because we were made that way. And life just doesn't work. You'll always come up thirsty for more, trying to try this, or it's whether it's drugs or sex or affirmation or approval or riches or whatever it might be. You'll always be hungry and thirsty for more. But Jesus said, if you believe in me, if you receive from the bread, believe in me, not only will you never be hungry, you'll never be thirsty again. That's amazing. To never hunger for that kind of thing again? I mean, I'm not saying that you don't care about human affection, but it's not like you have to have it, or you have to have this, or you have to have that. You're bent towards the creature. There's such freedom in that. Because then you're free to love people. Because you know why? Because they don't owe you anything. I don't have to have them to love me because I'm complete in Christ. So I'm free now to love them. That's real liberty. That's real freedom, right? Somebody told me the other day, I was in a situation, and they were kind of upset about something that somebody had said something about them. It was a crowd of people, and it wasn't Christ the King, like that. And they said, you know, they said something bad about you too. That's why, I don't know why you needed to tell me that, but, and they comforted me by letting me know that somebody had corrected them. But I thought, you know what, I don't have to have that person think I'm wonderful. But Jesus thinks that person, whoever it was, they didn't tell me who it was, I didn't want to know who it was, didn't ask who it was, because it doesn't matter. I don't have to have that person thinking I'm wonderful for me to be whole. But for somebody to say something like that, it means they're hurting. There's something broken in them. So I'm free to love them instead of being offended with them. You know, because you can't love somebody and be offended with them at the same time. You can't pray for them when you're concerned about what they've cost you, what they haven't given you that you want. And then Jesus said in verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me. He said, if you believe in me, then you'll have life and life more abundant. And he said, but I'm saying to you that you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Verse 40, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will enjoy, that's the word here, is will enjoy eternal life, life and life more abundant. So here's the thing, kind of what I wanted to share. There's a lot of little extra things I threw in there. But they saw him and didn't see him. They're asking for a sign when he has just given them a sign. Let me just say this to you. God's given you so many signs in your life, and yet we don't see him. We keep begging him to do stuff, and Jesus is saying, if you see me and believe, you'll get to enjoy this life and life more abundant. But we miss it all the time. Jesus is doing stuff all the time. An example, I just told you this story about me being in a situation where this friend reported to me, well, they said something bad about you too. That's a crisis in that. Why? Why did that person let me say that to me? Why did Jesus allow me to hear that? So I'd start praying for whoever that person was. He knows their name. That their heart would be healed. Because whenever you criticize other people and you say things about them, it's because you're broken. It's not about me. I don't need them to think I'm wonderful. I'm complete in Christ. But they need to know how wonderful they are to Jesus so they don't have to live like that anymore. That was Christ let that happen. Do you understand? But Jesus does so many things in our lives all the time, and we just miss it. And we fall into unbelief. And Jesus said, here's the whole issue. If you want to enjoy eternal life, just behold me. See me in the midst of everything. I may not be causing everything, but I'm in the midst of everything. I didn't cause the storm, but I'm walking on water in the storm, inviting you to walk on water with me. And if you'll just see me, behold me, and believe, then you'll enjoy eternal life. But you see, they were so busy being concerned that they got food that there's this amazing thing that God did around them, and they didn't even see it. Let me just say this to you. Every one of you are here is a sign. Because there's not a one of us who are here who probably could have not been here at some point. God's kept you. He's kept you alive. There are blessings that have been in your life, but you can't see them because you're so busy being upset or bitter or concerned because of what you didn't get. So you're asking, God has to prove himself to you. The very fact that you're here today is proof of how much God loves you. And God wants us to start walking in childlikeness and start just simply believing and enjoying the eternal life that's ours in Christ. Jesus said, if you behold me and believe, you will enjoy eternal life. He was in their midst working and they didn't see him. They were asking him to prove himself to them. When he's proved himself to us again and again every day. Amen?
Amen.
See, I'm supposed to go to Africa on Sunday, but there's some stuff going on in my life right now. I may not get to go. But Jesus told me about 2 weeks ago, he said, don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. Well, I thought, okay, then who am I to worry about it? If you're not going to worry about it, and you know everything, I don't know anything, so I'm not worried about it. So why wouldn't he let me go? I was asking Bracken, why wouldn't the Lord not let me go? And Bracken said, well, either maybe there's some reason you need to be here, or there's a reason you don't need to be there, I don't know. Now, I haven't made the decision yet. I won't make a decision until tomorrow afternoon, but you know what? I believe. Amen. And because I believe one way or the other, I'm going to get to enjoy the eternal life of mine in Christ instead of asking him to do something because I'm frustrated and upset when he's doing stuff all the time. Hope that makes sense. All righty. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.